Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Chemplast Sanmar Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. S. Ganesh Kumar, Managing Director from Chemplast Sanmar Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and good morning, everybody. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone joining us on our call today. On this call, we are joined by our CFO, A.R. Balaji, Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari, heading our Custom Manufactured Chemicals Division, N. Muralidharan, Executive Director of Finance, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges on our company's website. Q1 FY26-27 was shaped by a volatile global environment, with geopolitical events influencing raw material availability, feedstock costs, and demand across several of our businesses. We are seeing respite in the feedstock prices, with supply conditions improving towards the end of the quarter. Against this backdrop, the company reported a consolidated revenue of rupees 1,125 crores for the quarter. However, a sharp increase in input costs severely impacted profitability, resulting in EBITDA loss of rupees 115 crores. Getting into the details, on the Paste PVC side, the demand remained volatile throughout April and early May, primarily due to lower downstream operating rates caused by PNG-LNG supply issues and elevated input costs. However, the market turned around in June as the Middle East situation eased, providing better visibility on raw material availability and helping downstream operating rates to recover to 70%-80%. We remain confident that this demand recovery will continue in the coming quarters. Pricing improved compared to the previous quarters. Supplies from Europe and Asia remained limited through much of the quarter before turning aggressive again from mid-June as market conditions normalized. On the regulatory front, the Ministry of Finance allowed the anti-dumping recommendation against imports from the European Union and Japan to lapse, prolonging import pressure on the domestic industry. In response, we filed a writ of mandamus before the Madras High Court and obtained a favorable order directing provisional assessment of imports and execution of bonds by importers to facilitate retrospective recovery of ADD should it ultimately be imposed. The basic customs duty on Paste PVC was waived off from 1st of April 2026 to 30th of June, with the waiver extended until 15th of July 2026. This was reinstated with effect from 16th of July 2026. With the reinstatement of customs duty and the ongoing legal proceedings relating to ADD, we expect a moderation in low-price dumping from Europe and Japan, which shall provide a more balanced competitive environment for domestic producers. Operationally, productivity improvement initiatives at the Cuddalore Paste PVC facility are progressing well, and the 7,000 tons debottlenecking project remains on track for commissioning in October 2026, further strengthening our manufacturing capabilities. Coming to Custom Manufactured Chemicals Division, the segment delivered a much-improved performance during the quarter, reflecting encouraging signs of recovery from the slowdown witnessed over the past few quarters. Backed by a healthy order book, accelerating customer engagements, and robust product pipeline, we are confident that this positive momentum will continue through FY27. On the execution front, MPP-3 Phase 3 and Pilot Phase 3 have been successfully commissioned and are operational. Our business development initiatives are also yielding encouraging results. The appointment of a business development head for Europe and a representative in Japan have significantly strengthened customer engagement and new product opportunities. Our molecule pipeline has expanded close to 50 molecules, with 14 being commercialized, reinforcing our confidence in the long-term growth prospect of the business. On our refrigerant gas business, following the commencement of commercial production of R32 in May 26 from our swing plant, customer engagement continues to progress. Feedback from customers on product specs has been positive. On the new plant, project commissioning is underway and progressing as per plan. Moving to our value-added chemicals business, caustic soda and chloromethane continued to operate in a challenging market environment during the quarter, with pricing remaining under pressure due to weak regional demand and excess supply. While demand for caustic soda remained stable across key end-user industries, chloromethane's volumes were impacted by softer demand in select end-use segments. In hydrogen peroxide, volumes improved on a sequential basis as raw material availability normalized, although prices moderated from elevated levels seen at the beginning of the quarter. On 17 July, a rare fire incident occurred in our EDC plant in Karaikal, resulting in manual shutdown of the facility. There were no injuries to employees or contractors, neither was there any spillage, and the fire was fully extinguished within 15 minutes. We are working closely with the concerned authorities and undertaking all necessary corrective actions to facilitate the safe and timely restoration of operation, with the safety and well-being of our employees remaining our foremost priority. On suspension PVC business, market headwinds impacted the suspension PVC this quarter due to declining prices, particularly in April 26. The quarter was marked by significant volatility following the Middle East conflict, which disrupted feedstock availability and led to elevated VCM prices. To support the domestic economy and reduce import costs, the government exempted customs duty on PVC resin and reduced the duty on VCM to nil from 2nd April to 30th June 2026. This led to higher imports, particularly from China, putting pressure on domestic market. In addition, the demand softened towards the end of the quarter due to seasonal factors. Reimposition of the customs duty and introduction of the minimum import price on low-price suspension PVC imports are expected to provide some pricing support. During the last quarter, we mentioned about formation of a committee comprising of three independent directors to examine the strategic priorities for the company with a view to enhance the long-term value creation for stakeholders. The committee is currently evaluating the various options available, and I've engaged advisors to assist them in the process. Once there is a definitive development or a concrete outcome to share, we will certainly provide an update. The improving outlook of a specialty business, coupled with few positive development in our PVC product portfolio, gives us confidence in the future. The strong momentum in CMCD, together with our ongoing investments in capacity expansion in the specialty segment, positions us well to drive profitable growth. We remain focused on disciplined execution, creating long-term value for our stakeholders. Now I request our CFO to talk about the...
Thanks, Ganesh. Good morning to all the participants on the call. Coming to our financial performance for quarter one FY27, on a consolidated basis, the company reported revenues of 1,135 crores compared to 1,100 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The company reported a net loss of Rs. 176 crores for the quarter. Now moving to segment-wise performance, the specialty chemical segment reported revenues of Rs. 427 crores during the quarter, with volumes registering a healthy 21% year-on-year growth. The value-added chemical segment reported revenues of Rs. 129 crores compared to Rs. 138 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The suspension PVC segment reported revenues of 569 crores compared to Rs. 608 crores in the same quarter previous year. In terms of revenue mix, the specialty chemical segment contributed 38% of the consolidated revenue. The value-added chemical segment accounted for 11%, while the suspension PVC business contributed the remaining 51%. On a standalone basis, the company reported revenue from operations of Rs. 592 crores, while EBITDA stood at Rs. 7 crores for the quarter. With this, we conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussion. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while a question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Rohit Nagraj from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is in terms of lithium sourcing. So what is the current condition in terms of sourcing from different geographies? And given that the lithium prices have been largely similar to the product prices PVC, at any point in time, would we be taking a decision to partially shut down the facility? Because any which ways, it is not making money as of today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. The VCM high-priced in the inventory that we had booked, which was close to $1,000+, that affected the first quarter, and we will consume everything by July and a part of August. As of today, if I look at the replacement cost, the VCM is priced at about $700 delivered price, and we are selling PVC at about $900+. So there is a spread of $150 to $160 net of taxes, which is available for us to offer. We will continue to evaluate the situation. We are trying to look at alternate sources of VCM sourcing. But to give a perspective, the reason why the prices went up early in end of March, early April, was primarily due to lack of the feedstock for the VCM plants, which used to come from Middle East. That has now eased out, and plants have started going back to their 70, 80, 90% capacity. So we see that VCM prices will continue to soften into, as we go into the next quarter.
Sure, sir. So second question is in terms of the margins for suspension as well as paste PVC. Now, given that the ADD investigation or the ADD did not go through for both the products, how are we foreseeing the margins for the next one and a half years? And have we done any additional, I mean, you mentioned about the Bombay, Chennai High Court wave appeal, but beyond that, from an ADD perspective, have we been going ahead with any incremental process so that, again, it can be taken up by the government? Thank you.
So one is the ADD suspension. Yes, suspension, we are relooking at taking it up as an industry in terms of we are working on the data to see what is in favor of an ADD proposal. On the paste side, I think this court directive itself is pretty strong and will be a deterrent to low price dumping into the country, because it is against a provisional bond of retrospectively collecting duty in case if it is applicable. So it means that the prices will adjust in a normative approach as we go. For the next steps of application for paste, that is something which we always keep reviewing on a quarterly basis in terms of how are we with respect to the data and what is it that we need to do as an action. So that will continue to be a consistent process to represent with the government and see how to get a anti-dumping duty on paste PVC. The focus of anti-dumping duty is also only a level playing field. As long as we get a level playing field, we are competitive technically with the global players into the market.
Got that, sir. If I can squeeze in one more on the CMCD front. So in the commentary, you mentioned that this quarter has seen a good amount of pickup and good traction on the business. Is it because of any external factors, or do we feel that this is going to be a case incrementally for the quarters and the pickup will continue? And where are we on the 1,000 crore target for CMCD as of now? Thank you.
I will hand it over to Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari to respond to this.
So, we are on track on the 1,000 crore target as we communicated in the last call. Going back to your first question, the this is a reflection of the molecules that we have commercialized over the past few years starting to ramp up as we had expected them to. And so we expect to continue, we expect the trend to continue in the coming quarters as well.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for all the answers and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Continuing on the CSM, the CDMO side, we were working on, 40-plus molecules earlier and were expecting, commercialization of around 15, 17 of them this year. Any changes to that thought or any updates on that? How are we looking at the product commercialization side? And this will be largely ECM, right? Or there are some other non-ECM molecules as well that we are looking to wrap up?
Thank you. Good question. The pipeline continues to be healthy. Our number of molecules in the pipeline that we track, continues to increase. We have close to around 50 molecules in various stages of development. We have currently 14 commercial, but we anticipate more commercialization in the coming months. We've also, deployed resources both in Europe as well as in Japan to accelerate our business development efforts in these regions. The activities in terms of BD is not just restricted to ACCHEM. So this pipeline that I'm talking about of close to 50 molecules includes markets in pharmaceutical as well as in other specialty chemical end markets. So we are trying to diversify beyond just ACCHEM.
Sure, Dr. Krishna. If you can, just highlight maybe in percentage terms or, whichever way it works, how do you see, let's say, this 1,000 crore revenue that we are looking at, right, maybe 3 years out? What could be the potential breakup of this between ECM and non-ECM? And secondly, from a client diversification or concentration perspective, you did mention, BD efforts in Europe and Japan, but do we have visibility on revenue from incremental newer clients or the same client is adding, more business to us?
So the 1,000 crore, would continue to be, pretty much ACCHEM. So that number, is reflective of what we have done till now. What we are doing now, will reflect, a little bit down the road, and it's not factored in that 1,000 crore. So we will continue to be in the near term, majorly dependent on ACCHEM.
Sure, sir. And follow-up, the current discussions with clients, especially on the ECM side, are we seeing any signs of ramp-up? Because, last quarter we had highlighted that there is some deference in demand. Is this status quo right now as well, or there is some improvement or deterioration?
That deferral I was talking about, and it sometimes happens quarter to quarter or, let's say, financial year, the calendar year, due to timing. The ACCHEM overall market, continues to be subdued, it is reviving, but there's still significant competition with respect to, generics from China. But majority of our molecules that we have, that we are commercialized, many of them are pipeline molecules, so those are more, linked to, long-term growth and things like that. So the growth for us is coming from, we have developed and commercialized, and they are going through the ramp-up phase that we had, originally anticipated. Some of them could have been delayed by a quarter here and there, but overall, they continue to be on a healthy, positive trend.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. And just one last, bit on R32. We are looking at 14,000 ton of capacity. One, you know, any timelines, on that side in terms of commissioning? And secondly, how are you looking to sell this across? Is this largely going to be a domestic sales, or are we looking at some global tie-ups, etc.? Thank you.
Thanks, Rohit. All the capacities will be online by end of this week. That's per plan. It's not something which is changing as of.
Voice correct. End of this quarter.
Fiscal.
Okay.
This fiscal, that has been the plan always, and that is how we are on track to deliver on that. Second is regarding the go-to-market strategy. The go-to-market will encompass both domestic and international sales. We are in active discussions with various partners, and by the time we get the capacity online, we would have tied up some of the partnerships.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sir, I've got three questions and I will put them across one by one with your permission. First one is, you just disclosed and also in your annual report that you have 14 molecules in commercial production on the CMCD side. Without naming customers or products, how concentrated is that revenue? I mean, what share comes from, let's say, top three molecules, and how broadly distributed the revenue base is across these 14 today?
It's concentrated mostly in AgChem, but beyond that, we don't want to comment on, you know, both customer concentration as well as product concentration, because many of them, you know, as I've indicated before, we have confidentiality obligations with the customer. But I can assure you that it's with multiple customers and across multiple innovators and multiple products.
So products, we know that it's 14, but you also just mentioned that you've got multiple innovators or customers across these 14 molecules.
Absolutely.
Okay. Second, sure. I guess there is slight delay in the line, but that's fine. And my second question is, you have expanded the CMCD capacity from roughly 1,100 to 5,400 tons. Excluding the uncontracted pipeline, what utilization does the current order book support today, and what utilization is required for CMCD to earn your targeted ROCE?
So I'll answer on the utilization side. As you are aware, we just this quarter, we commissioned the phase three of the expansion of the MPP3. So if I exclude that, you know, our utilization would be maybe close to 60 to 70% on the assets that were already commissioned. So again, that's a fairly healthy utilization, because if you also recall, these are multi-purpose blocks, so, you know, can handle multiple products, but there are time required to change over from one campaign to another, and utilization in these blocks can never be 95 or 100%, let's say. Question on ROCE?
Yeah, absolutely. It will never be. Yeah.
Krishna mentioned,
yeah,
I think.
I'll clarify the question. So, for the blocks that are reasonably well utilized.
So, we don't break it up.
So, if I can clarify very quickly, I think there is some delay in the line. So, for the. Okay.
Sorry, if you can repeat the question, it's not very clear.
Yes, sure, sure. I will repeat. So my question was that for the on the gross block that is reasonably well utilized, 60 to 70%, are you getting the desired ROC based on your internal estimates on that part of the gross block which is utilized? I'm just trying to understand the overall economics that, you know, at a certain utilization, yes, of course, we will never get 90-95% utilization on a sustainable basis, because these are multi-purpose plants, and multi-purpose plants, the changeover, etc., will impact the utilization. These are not dedicated capacities, you know, one molecule, continuous manufacturing, etc. So I completely understand that. But on the part that is reasonably well utilized, are we getting the desired ROC? That's the question. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. I think like Krishna explained, one, the order book is healthy and the delivery in Q1 has been healthy and the utilization has been at reasonable levels. Of course, it can sort of go up marginally. In terms of return expectations, I think earlier also we indicated the new products, we gradually sort of the return, the contribution margins gradually increase. I think we are now reaching a stage where we are more or less able to optimize the cost levels and then get to the industry levels of returns. That's where we are. I think we will get there this year.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And my last question is on the debt levels, we have a positive operating cash flow, but with the interest cost now around 235 crores annually and free cash flow is still negative because of the growth capex, what level of sustainable operating cash flow do you need to service the interest and the debt repayments while completing the committed growth capex without requiring additional capital, be it a dilution of equity or some external funding? Thank you. Yes.
This is Balaji. You know, we have conserved cash over the years. That, along with the current accruals, will take care of all the debt servicing obligations. We have enough liquidity in the system to take care. So it should not be a cause for concern.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First on the PVC, sorry, I joined a little late in the call, but want to understand how has been the spread starting this quarter, because are we still carrying the high-cost inventory, because there is a significant impact of high-cost inventory in Q1. How should we think about Q2 and Q3 considering the current prices if they sustain the way they are?
Hi, Sanjay. Thanks for the question.
Hi, sir.
The high-cost VCM still continues. Part of it is still there. Was there in July and will be there in part of August. And after that, we are getting into the normal price equity. So getting into September and getting into Q3, we should be in a better position if the same price levels continue on both sides, whether VCM or PVC. We are talking of a spread of around $160 between PVC and VCM.
Between PVC and VCM. And they are sustaining now.
They are sustaining now. See, now that the customs duty is back, the MIP is imposed for the next 6 months. So both of these things will ensure that prices will not go below this level.
And when we say $160, it is India spread or we are talking about the global spread? Because if I take $160, then should I add the differential in the excise duty freight cost to come to an actual spread?
This is our spread.
Roughly around
this
India
is our spread. Yeah. Oh, so it is an India spread. Got it. Second, on the paste PVC, we have done a 7,000 metric ton of debottlenecking, which is a great thing. But how is the spread in the paste PVC business? Because your standalone has done reasonably well when we compare to your subsidiary. So is there a difference in the inventory carrying days for both the business, and how has been the spreads for the paste PVC?
So A, the paste PVC realization has been much better for us compared to the suspension PVC. There is always a positive spread between suspension and paste. That's one of the reasons why we are pushing for the paste debottlenecking. And that is what has helped us to put the standalone P&L in a good position.
And spreads there are, what is the differential spread today in the paste versus suspension PVC?
That is roughly around $200. The spread between paste and suspension.
Got it. And my next question on the value-added product, the production appears to be lower. It's because we have bought more EDC from the market because of the ethylene shortage, or is there anything else to read there?
See, we went through a membrane changeover, because of which during the membrane changeover in caustic, the production is plant is shut down. So that is where we had lost the capacity, and knowingly it was a well-planned initiative. And post-membrane changeover, the productivity improves. So in the long term, it benefits. So that is why you see that delta.
And what will be today our capacity in the caustic? We were at 120,000. Still there, or?
Yes, still at that. Capacity is that, but then different electrolyzers, because of aging, has different efficiencies. So 100 to 120 will always be the range in which we operate.
Got it. One on the custom manufacturing business, we were confident this year of a decent growth. Has the visibility improved, or you still see there's a challenge in the underlying agrochemical market?
No, we don't see any challenges in the underlying agrochemical market. The concern that we would have is, you know, how the pipeline in the agrochemical market moves. Because, you know, I've talked about this in the past in terms of new molecule launches are getting delayed and are not taking off as originally our customers were expecting because of price pressures on existing molecules. And availability of cheap generics, you know, which motivates the farmers to continue using existing chemistries and formulations and not move to new molecules. But our underlying, you know, don't see significant, you know, downsides to the demand that we have on the molecules that we've already commercialized.
And what has been the pickup of some of the molecules? Because we did some of these patented, I thought, considering the revival, there will be a push from an innovator for the patented product. Are we seeing that happening in the market? Is there more optic for our products?
Yeah, no. So the molecules that we have commercialized, many of them are pipeline or are linked to customers' newly launched products, right? And we are seeing good traction, you know, and we are starting to see positive revival and momentum on some of those already.
And Krishna, anything beyond the agrochemical we are thinking at this point of time, or we are largely focused on getting this agrochemical entire thing up and running and then probably think of more diversification?
No, so we talked about it, I think, probably before you joined. We have invested, or we are investing in resources both in Europe and in Japan, you know, to support our business development. And these are fairly senior level resources. And the intent is to look beyond. Obviously, AgChem is a focus because there is significant opportunity both in the near and long term. So we are not going to move away from that. We believe that there is you know, good opportunities there. But at the same time, you know, parallelly, we are looking at, you know, pharmaceutical and other specialty chemical applications and customers where we are seeing some traction as well. So it's again our intent to diversify beyond AgChem in the long term.
Very good. And have we hired the people, or we are still in the process of identifying the talents?
No. The resources are already on the ground and running.
On the ground and running. Great. Thanks for answering all those questions, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rashmi Gohil from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for giving me this opportunity. So, with four consecutive quarters of losses and thin margins, what is management's line of sight to EBITDA break-even and by when?
The challenges have been continuing for a long time, mainly driven by the PVC segment. But what we are looking at is four broad triggers in terms of positive triggers. First is, if we look at suspension PVC, we are looking at the reinstatement of customs duty, the MIP that has been implemented, and also the globally the market recovering very, very marginally. That's even though marginal, but the MIP and the reinstatement of duty will bring up the price levels. For this, accompanied by the drop in VCM prices, will help us to improve the spread as we move into the next quarter. We may still have some challenges in this quarter, but as we move into the next quarter, we see that this margin should be able to sustain. So we are talking of reaching a spread of close to $160, this will be healthy for the suspension PVC business. Coming to paste PVC business, there is of course the duty which has come back. That is the first one. Second is, while we did not get the anti-dumping duty, we filed a writ in the Madras High Court in terms of seeking reinstatement, and till the time a decision is taken, provisionally allowing importers to clear the consignment on a bond with ability to retrospectively recover the duty if imposed. So this has already started seeing offshoots in terms of prices going up. So to that extent is a positive sign. Third is on the CMC. Krishna has explained that we've had a strong quarter. There are 14 molecules which are already in play. We have a strong order book as we speak for the remaining 9 months of the year. And also the new molecule pipeline at 50, which will move around and start getting into concluding phases as into the next few quarters. So fourth is the ref gas, which will come across. Part of the plants are already operational. The full capacity will be in the last quarter of the fiscal. So by that time, we will also start getting into the profitable mode. So all the four put together, I think we have a strong, resilient position today to see that the business turns around and moves towards the positive.
Thanks for answering. My next question is around refrigerant gas, that is R32. Now that the commercial production has started, so what is the current utilization rate, and when do you expect full ramp up? And what is the expected revenue and margin contribution from R32 in FY27?
See, full ramp up will happen only in the last quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year, because that is when all the capacities will come up. And as we move, we see a healthy margin contribution there as of today, but it's too early to give a forward-looking statement on how much will that stay. But yes, it is as per our plan, and we see this is going to be one of the profitable things.
And how does the swing plant flexibility between R22 and R32 get decided commercially?
So we would be moving to R32, and then depending on if we have an opportunity, we can take a call later. But as we see the entire country and the global moving towards R32, we may not have significant demand for R22.
Okay. 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 Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions. All the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Kiran Gargi from Knightstone Capital Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. So what was the PVC VCM spread in Q1?
PVC VCM spread in Q1 was negative. Was a negative spread for us. So it was because of the high cost VCM, because if you look at the average landing of VCM in Q1 was about $1,000+ per ton, and the realization was close to $700 to $750 per ton.
Okay. And so, at what spread would we be EBITDA positive?
Right. We are looking at what you say, to become EBITDA neutral, we need roughly $120 to $130 per ton.
Kiran, actually, you had sort of, Nish had mentioned, the Q1 had the impact of the high-cost VCM, which we had spoken about in the last earnings call itself. So, currently, on a replacement basis, if you look at the PVC and VCM prices, I think the current high-cost material will move out maximum by August. Post that, we will realize the current market spreads. Current market spreads, like Ganesh was explaining, is somewhere around $160.
Yeah.
So that will give us a reasonably healthy EBITDA numbers on an annualized basis.
Okay, and for PBT positive, what kind of spread will we need?
Maybe another $20 to $30 of spread sort of will make it PBT positive.
Yeah, another $30.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand that the current spreads of, you said suspension PVC is around 160 to 200. I just wanted to understand the trend of this while the EDC prices have gone up significantly, and what are they currently, and similar for PVC paste.
Yeah. So there are a couple of clarifications. The $160 is basically the spread at a replacement level. If you look at the replacement market today, if I buy VCM and convert to PVC and sell it, it will be at 160. But we still are carrying contracts and obligations of high-priced VCM. So we have still not reached that level.
That will happen from September.
Okay. That will happen from September.
Okay. And for paste PVC?
Paste PVC, we are on the positive side. We are, as I mentioned earlier, we are on a $200 upwards of suspension in terms of realization.
Got it. So while our MIP has increased and it creates a floor for us, what and our fixed final price or the realization is more of a global determinant factor. So just wanted to understand that, does this create a lower margin or a lower spread, or are you able to pass on the incremental hike or the increase in PVC price because of the MIP?
See, the today as we speak, the MIP is lower than the market prices as we speak. But this is a floor, as we say, this is a base floor that helps us to calibrate as we go along if the markets fall in future. Ultimately, we are selling on global prices. It's a commodity traded globally, so the global prices determine the price on the ground.
Okay. Okay. And just wanted to understand that inventory, like you mentioned, would get replenished by almost September. So what are the current EDC prices which we are getting?
See, we buy mostly VCM. We don't buy too much of EDC. Because the mover and shaker is the VCM, which is the majority of it. VCM replacement price today in the market is roughly about delivered at $700 per ton.
Okay, got it. I'll get back in queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dharma Seja from Teja Investment. Please go ahead.
So I just want to know how, I mean, can you just give guidance how the number's going to be from this quarter, because they're not, sorry to say, it's not that, I just want to know when it's going to turn profitable, because this quarter is, it's lost, right?
We don't want to sort of give guidance on the exact number, but like Ganesh explains, few positive triggers have happened. On the suspension PVC side, the MIP has been announced. Customs duty, which was kept sort of in abeyance for a few months, that has been restored back. With all of that, the suspension PVC prices have moved up. And the high-cost VCM that we carried, that also is getting washed out within this month. So, effectively going forward, we will be able to realize the market. That's with the suspension PVC prices moving up, I think there will be a reasonable EBITDA that that business will generate. And on the paste PVC as well, the customs duty impact. There again, the duty has been restored back, the positive impact of that. Along with the fact that we have also got a favorable order in the writ that we had filed in the High Court, which has sort of helped improve the paste PVC realizations as well. So paste PVC realizations and margins are at a reasonable level. Customer manufacturing business, like I said, the order book is good. The Q1 performance has been good. So the outlook for this business is strong. So overall, I think we believe the sort of the worst is over, and I think the outlook is reasonably positive, more so on the specialty side of the business. So the last two quarters, yes, we did see few quarters of underperformance, which primarily they're driven significantly by the dumping we have experienced over the period. And the last two quarters has been more due to the high-cost VCM that we carried. With all of that getting washed out, I think from Q3, we should see a reasonable performance. So I don't want to guide an exact number to you, but I think we should see a reasonable performance from Q3.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. And one last question. I just want to know, are we seeing any visitations from pharma towards the site regarding TDM?
Your voice is not clear. Can the moderator help us with the question?
Sir, I just want to know, are there any visitations from pharma towards the CDMT system?
Any pharma?
So yes, we have various projects ongoing with pharma innovators as well. Most of them are in the pipeline at a development stage, and we would see some of them becoming commercial either later this year or by early part of next financial year.
Thank you so much, sir, and have a good quarter, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Raja Kumar Vaidyanathan from RK Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the onerous contracts for which we made the 150 crore provision last quarter. There was a comment made in the conference call that the provision will be reversed in the current quarter. And also you mentioned there are one or two more contracts where you will be losing. So can you give color as to what has happened in this quarter with reference to these two items?
Yeah. The entire onerous contracts have been fully reversed. But of course, we have certain high-cost inventory coming in again during the current quarter. So the net provision is around 90 crores for PCBL and 30 crores for Kempfert. That will get reversed during the current quarter.
So the entire provision has been reversed, or you are carrying any further provision?
The subsequent inflows, we do a mark-to-market for that. So net provision is around 90 crores right now, NRV provision, 30 crores for PSO.
So 90 crores you are carrying in the balance sheet. Is that what you're saying?
That will get reversed during the current quarter.
Okay. And extending the same question,
I just want to know, see, when your margins are in the region of 4 to 5%, so what is the enthusiasm to sign fixed price selling contract while keeping the raw material portion exposed?
See, normally this what we have seen during the last couple of months, the end of my year, starting April, has been an anomaly. It has never been the case. We have seen PVC VCM spreads in the range of 100 plus plus minus dollars. So idea is, it was not fixed price contract, it was a market contract which we had to take. I hope I am able to answer your question.
Sorry to labor on the point. So the thing is, see, if when you are having a lower margins, so from a sorry to be blunt on this. So from a prudent standpoint, you should have your selling price also protected if there is a raw material escalation, right? So keeping the raw material portion exposed completely, and while having the selling price fixed, it's kind of it's kind of putting a lot of pressure on the bottom line. So, and I also want to know how many such contracts you have, to be executed in the future as well.
No, see, the contractual formula-based pricing that we have is basically has worked for us for years. Okay, it is just that as an anomaly, these 2-3 months when these market prices went up and we had to pick up. Otherwise, it has never exposed us to this extent. Second, market price is also not fixed. Market price is also based on the global market, how it shapes up. So there will be these are two separate commodity cycles that we are working on. But normally PVC to VCM spread is maintained at 100-150, between 80-150, that range is there. This is only an anomaly. So I don't think as an anomaly we should make a decision and go back to spot purchases, because if you would have been in spot, then even today we would have been buying at a much higher price.
So, Vajanan, just to add to what Mr. Ganesh highlighting, actually, it's not that we have fixed the PVC price. PVC price was also dependent on the market price, and VCM is also linked to the market price. Though they are contracts, they are always linked to the market price. This was a particular situation when in March, the PVC prices were quite high. And at that point of time, because of the war situation, the availability of material became a question mark. So we had booked certain parcels at that point in time, keeping in mind the prices, PVC prices prevalent at that when we booked the parcels. But subsequently, PVC prices, market prices dropped. That is the reason we are sort of seeing this negative impact in Q1. So in general, PVC prices is floating, and VCM prices are also market-driven and they are floating. We don't lock one side and keep the other side open.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for the clarification. I was thinking it was a fixed price. Okay. No. Thanks for the clarification. Okay.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in Chemplast Sanmar Limited. In case you have further queries, please do contact SGA, our investor relations advisor, and have a great day. Thank you.
On behalf of Strategic Growth Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.